Please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Colossians 3. Some of you thought I was going to say Genesis, but I didn't, because we're going to take a little break from Genesis this morning. Today is the Sunday before what may be one of the most overlooked holidays in our country anyway. In retail stores, we go from sort of the ghoulishness of Halloween to the cheer of Christmas, and it's like somebody forgot, hey, there's another holiday, national holiday, dropped in there that we really haven't said much about. And if we do that, if we skip over Thanksgiving, then we're missing out on something. We're missing one of the holidays, I think, that's most in accord with what we do and believe as Christians. So I'm talking about Thanksgiving. You know that because that's this Thursday. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And I guess the way Americans spend their money has determined that Halloween and Christmas are more marketable than Thanksgiving, and more people spend stuff on those things than they do on Thanksgiving. I know some turkey goes on sale this month. There's some harvesty stuff in the store, and they'll try to get you to have a big party, after which you'll need to take a long nap. So there is some marketing targeted at that national holiday, but it seems to pale in importance compared to others. And so maybe you're surprised that I would take a message on this Sunday before the holiday of Thanksgiving to direct our thoughts towards the act of Thanksgiving. Some years I do that and some I don't, but that's what we're doing this year. And we'll be looking at several passages as we go, not our normal practice of taking one passage and preaching all the way through it, but looking at several passages, one of them here in Colossians chapter 3. I hope to do something this morning that's probably pretty obvious to you. I want to direct our thoughts towards being a people who give thanks to the giver of every good and perfect gift. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And I hope that thinking about that for a few minutes this morning in the preaching and hearing of God's word, I hope that will direct our hearts and minds in a helpful direction as we approach the Thanksgiving holiday. And then as we come just this afternoon to our time of sharing and giving thanks over lunch, on the fellowship lunch before Thanksgiving, so once a month we have a fellowship lunch, and on the that's on the third Sunday of the month. And on the one just before Thanksgiving, we have traditionally taken time as lunch wraps up, about when we're done eating, to take some time and give thanks together, to publicly express our gratitude to God for his blessing to us, for how he has provided for us in the last year, how he has delivered us, how he has been faithful to us. Maybe something in particular, maybe something general. It doesn't have to be anything profound or anything long. But we've generally taken time to do that at this Sunday, at this fellowship lunch that we enjoy together. And I hope that thinking about giving thanks here in the preaching will sort of maybe prime us a little bit to be ready to do that together over lunch today. Giving thanks in the assembly, not just privately in our prayers, giving thanks in the assembly, in the gathering of God's people, is something that we see taking place in Scripture. Let me just give you one example. I want to give you some more later, but Psalm 111 and verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright," in the congregation. And so there's this practice of the psalmist of giving thanks, of testifying before God's people of the goodness that God has shown to them, of speaking of God's kindness to him, doing that in the assembly, the gathering of God's people. Now, we have opportunities to do that when we gather each week for prayer meeting, at least in a limited way. But today we want to give a focused time for it at our meal together after the service this morning. And what we want to think about in the preaching today should help us be ready to do that, to show the importance of being a people of thanksgiving, a people who are full of gratitude. And I want us to think about three main things today. One, we should be a people of thanksgiving. We should be a people of gratitude, a people who are thankful. Second, what we should be most thankful for. And third, that we should, as we've just noted, declare that thanksgiving publicly. not just keep it to ourselves, right? So we should be a people of thanksgiving. What should we be most thankful for? And then we should declare our thankfulness publicly among God's people. So we start with being a people of thanksgiving, people of gratitude, a people of thankfulness. And I hope this is obvious to you. It only makes sense given what we believe from the Word of God. So let me just mention a few of the things that we believe from God's Word that should lead us towards thankfulness. Sometimes the pastor drops the cap of his water bottle and wouldn't want to knock it over without a cap on it. So here's some truths from God's Word that should move us towards thankfulness. If we believe, right? So if we believe, and I'm assuming that we do believe these things, if we believe that God made the world and everything in it, including us, if we believe that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present and unchanging, if we believe that he is sovereign over absolutely everything, absolutely all of the time, if we believe that he gives us the breath in our lungs, if we believe that he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and his rain to fall on the just and the unjust, if we believe that he never fails to provide for his people, if we believe that he has done the work to have a people, if we believe that he sent his only son to be the sacrifice in the place of sinners like us under the deserved wrath of God, if we believe that through that sacrifice we have the forgiveness of sins, if we believe that he's given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment guaranteeing our inheritance in glory, if we believe that he's given us everything that we need for life and for godliness, if we believe that he is the strength in our weakness, if we believe that he will not let anyone or anything snatch us out of his hands, if we believe that he set his love on us while we were still sinners, if we believe that he chose us, called us, justified us, adopted us, is sanctifying us, and will glorify us, if we believe that every good and perfect gift comes down from him, if we believe these things, and surely we could say more, then we must be a people of gratitude. We must be a people of thanksgiving. Now, we haven't looked yet at a single scripture calling us to be thankful. We've just summarized some scriptural truth about who God is and what he has done for us and is doing for us and will do it for us. But what's the logical conclusion of those remarkable truths? I've just given you in very short order, a summary of some things that if you had never heard them before would maybe cause your jaw to drop. Maybe go, actually, that's unbelievable. But you've heard them all before. And so as I rattled off those multiple things that we believe that probably didn't faze you too much. Yep, okay, all right, he's just saying some things we believe. But, man, I'm not going to go through the list again, but there are remarkable truths that maybe on the first hearing you would go, that is unbelievable, but they are all straight out of the Word of God, and they are true. And so if those things are true, and they are, what is the logical conclusion of those things? Well, I hope it's obvious. It's that we should be thankful as the recipients of them. We should be a people full to overflowing with gratitude. It should come oozing out of us. When we get squeezed, thanksgiving should come out. Without anyone telling us that we need to be thankful, it should bubble out of our hearts as we pray and as we talk to one another and to others. And we're not talking about generic gratitude. Oh, I'm a thankful person. We're talking about very specifically being thankful to God who is and who does all of those things that we've just said. But all too often what comes out of my heart and mouth is not thankfulness and gratitude. And all of those things are true all of the time. And instead of thanksgiving and praise and waking up with a song in my heart and full of thankfulness to God, too often it's, I think immediately of all of the hard things and then the grumbling and the complaining can come so easily. Discontentment. So if you're anything like me, I don't think that reminding us this morning of what's obvious will be a waste of our time, that we ought to be thankful people. I hope it will be a good use of our time to think about that reality. Something that should be abundantly obvious, just at a logical level, but God doesn't leave us to just figure it out on our own. No, he tells us explicitly that we should give thanks. Think of it like this. If you have kids, or maybe you can think back to when you were a kid, or if you are a kid, think about right now. We as parents seek to shower our kids with good things. At least that's, in some ways, as it should be. I know that's not been everyone's experience. And if you've had poor parenting in your life, I pray that you find comfort knowing that there is still a God, a Heavenly Father who showers you with good gifts. But I want to make a comparison at the human level this morning of parents giving good things to their children. We make sure that they're clothed, that they're fed, that they are provided for. We transport them to where they need to go. We pay for sports and music lessons, and we educate them, and we take them to church, and we read the Bible with them, and we point them to the Savior Christ, and we lovingly discipline them, and we hold their hands, and we hug them, and we love them, and we tell them that we love them. And in some ways, we are a reflection, a poor reflection in some ways, but a reflection of what our Heavenly Father is to us. We do all sorts of good things for our kids, and they just naturally well up and bubble over with gratitude and thanksgiving. Every time we do something kind for them, they say thank you. They are always with a smile on their faces. They are never discontent. They're never dissatisfied. Of course, that's not what happens. That's not what we did when we were children. It's not what you children always do. I'm sure you're thankful sometimes. I know that you are. But not always. It seems like maybe they should well up with thanksgiving, but instead, and again, if we're honest, we didn't do that when we were children either. Rather, there's grumbling and complaining and sometimes keen observations of what is fair and not fair and careful notations of when one child has gotten something that another one didn't, and just sort of a general discontentment and lack of gratitude sometimes. And so we have to remind them, what do you say? Thank you. Or we go to someone's house and we have to remind them before we go, say thank you for the food, for letting them play with your toys. Remind them as they're leaving the game, thank you, coach, whatever it is. We often remind them, what do you say? Oh, thank you. It's obvious that they should be thankful, but they often aren't. And so we tell them and remind them, and so too with us. Given all those truths that we saw a moment ago, we should obviously be this people of gratitude and thanksgiving, but we're not always, and so God reminds us, just like parents. We chuckle because it's funny. We've heard kids grumble and complain, but it is really no different than us adults grumbling and complaining about health or the weather or the lack of money in the bank account or the bill that just came or whatever wasn't fair or the bad call in the game or whatever it is. And instead of thinking on all the good that God has done for us and being full of thanksgiving, we can too easily complain. And so let's look at some of God's reminders to us to give thanks. He's good to remind us, isn't he? Just like parents try to remind their children to give thanks, God reminds us. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. You're here in Colossians 3, and we'll pick it up our reading in verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's almost like Paul doesn't want you to miss it, because he repeats that need for thanksgiving and gratitude repeatedly in the space of just a few short verses. And we see here, thanksgiving can't just be empty words. It must be from the heart. Again, it's not generic, as we noted earlier. It is thanksgiving to God through Christ. And we do that as we dwell in Christ, and the word of Christ dwells in us richly, and we are filled with thanksgiving and express that to God, even as we're encouraging one another. One of the ways that we can encourage one another is to give thanks to God. And again, we want to give you an opportunity to do that over lunch today, to be an encouragement and a help to one another as we thank God together. Ephesians 5:20, very similar passage to the Colossians 1, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is uncomfortable language because it's so universal. Giving thanks always and for everything. Everything? That's what it says. Even the hard things? Even when I feel like complaining? Even when everyone else seems to be prospering and I'm not? Even when everyone else is grumbling and complaining? Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. There's that always again. Paul likes that word, and we should too. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A lot of people want to know what the will of God for their life is. I want to know what the will of God. Paul tells you. A few places it says, this is the will of God. And here's one of them. It is to give thanks in everything, in all circumstances. That's a lot easier to read and to say than it is to do. Were you thankful this morning when you were trying to get out the door to church, to worship, and to fellowship lunch, and everything went south? I know of a couple of households where things did not go as planned this morning. One of them was ours. Gratitude, even having prepared this sermon this week, was not my first instinct. Thankfulness to God in all circumstances. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Is giving thanks part of your prayer? It must be. It should be. It's really easy to queue up a bunch of requests when we pray. It's harder to think back on God's faithfulness and his answers to prayer and give thanks to him. Pastor Greg gave us a beautiful model of how to pray giving thanks this morning. I hope you were listening and praying with him and thanking God with him in your heart. That's how you give thanks to God as you pray. That's one way you can. Thanking him for who he is and what he's done for us and his provision and all of these things. Is thanksgiving regularly a part of your prayer life? And of course, we don't find exhortations to thanksgiving only in the New Testament. Psalm 30 and verse 4, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. Psalm 104, verse 4, enter, everybody knows this one, right? Enter his gates with, tell me. Yeah. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. When you arrive, when you walk into the courts of God, into the presence of God with his people to worship, is it with thankfulness welling up in your heart? With gratitude, with praise, for who is enter his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Psalm 106, verse 1, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. We're told to give thanks to the Lord, and then we're given good reason to do it. For he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His covenant love, his faithful love endures forever. And that is reason for giving thanks. Are you convinced that we should be a people of gratitude? You were likely convinced of that before you walked in the doors this morning. It's not hard to prove. You knew when you came in this morning you should be a people of gratitude. Were you thankful when you came in this morning? Was I? The problem is that we, or at least I, don't always act on our convictions. And so I hope this is a good reminder for us and a good way to head into a Thanksgiving holiday. And as you celebrate this week, don't forget that what little Thanksgiving marketing we do get in our world misses the point. While we can be thankful for turkey and naps and football, nothing wrong with that. Those aren't the main things. And those two are good gifts. Thank God for those two. Everything. 1 Timothy 4 is to be received with thanksgiving. Enjoy those things. Enjoy that feast. But make sure you don't miss that God is the giver of those gifts and that we ought to be giving thanks to him for who he is and what he has done and is doing and will do for us. Gratitude follows logically from who God is and what he's doing, and God tells us explicitly, be thankful. Now, second, I want to turn our attention briefly to the greatest reason for giving thanks. It's the thing without which, or actually the person without whom, we have no reason to be gathered together here today. The thing for which we should be most thankful is actually not a thing, it's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have in Him. What exactly has God done for us in Christ? Well, we deserve God's wrath and punishment for a sin. We've disobeyed God and deserve His judgment because of it. But that's not what we receive. Why? Well, at a different kind of feast, do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus is celebrating the Passover with His disciples. And by the way, I think a feast is a wonderful, this is completely an aside in some ways. A feast is a wonderful way to celebrate. It is a wonderful way to declare the goodness of God and to thank Him for His abundant provision for us. And so I love a fellowship lunch where we can feast together. And that's not Thanksgiving traditional food over there, at least most of it, I don't think. You can do that this week with your families. But a feast is a wonderful gift of God. And you see the people of God celebrating with feasts. Well, here is Jesus on the night before He died celebrating the Passover feast with His disciples, the last Passover, and He institutes a new meal to rejoice and celebrate. And so He says in Matthew 26, 26 to 28, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body.' And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Jesus understood that He was the sacrifice for sin. He gave His body. He laid His life down that His blood would be shed in our place. He took our spot under God's just wrath so that we might receive reward and blessing from God instead of curse and condemnation. Our sins are forgiven because Christ was punished for them. His blood was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. As He said when He instituted that Lord's Supper meal, and that's the good news. Forgiveness for sin against the holy God may seem completely unattainable. There's this massive chasm between sinful man like us and the holy God, and yet God has sent His Son to bridge that chasm. And He offers us forgiveness through His blood, and it's offered freely and sincerely to all who will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if today you have trusted in Christ, that forgiveness, that salvation from sin are yours. And that should blow us away. Are those things yours? Are you joined to Christ by faith? Then your response should be one of deep and profound gratitude. We're to give thanks for everything. Christ and His work must be part of that. Someone paid a parking ticket for you. What would you do? Thank them. Somebody took your jail time for you. What would you do? Thank them. Someone took the death penalty in your place. Before they died, you would thank them. And that's what Jesus has done, except exceedingly more so. Those are all in some ways temporal, even someone dying for you. Eventually, you're going to die, but Jesus died for your forgiveness and eternal life. So what should you do? Thank Him. Our response must be one of gratitude and thanksgiving. And that won't just be in words, "Thanks, Lord," and then on about my life, the way I always lived. It will show in the way we live. We're to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to Him. And so it will show in the way that we live. And flowing out of our gratitude, our obedience in the Christian life is rooted in gratitude. It flows out of gratitude for who God is and what He has done for us. And so we want to give our lives in service to Him. We want to live for His cause, for His kingdom, for His name, for His praise, for His worship, being conformed into His image so that the glory might be His as well. And so Jesus institutes this covenant feast, this covenant meal. And you remember what He does. He gives thanks. We heard it in Matthew with the cup, but listen to Luke 22:19, "And He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is My body, which is given for you. do this in remembrance of me. And so the Lord's Supper, which we're not partaking of today, we do that the first Sunday of the month, but the Lord's Supper is known as the Eucharist. Now, don't be afraid of the name, maybe just because it sounds Roman Catholic to you. Eucharisteo is just the Greek word for give thanks. This means giving thanks. That's what we do when we partake that first Sunday of each month when we gather here. We're giving thanks for the body and blood of our Savior Christ and for the forgiveness of sins that we have in Him. Maybe we should have rearranged our schedule. Observe the Lord's Supper today. It's a fitting Thanksgiving celebration, thanking God for what He has done for us in Christ. And so we thank Him for the forgiveness of sins that we have in Him. We should be expressing our deep gratitude for Him, not just the work, but the person of Jesus. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When someone gives you a gift, what do? At least that's what we try to get our kids to do, right? What do you say? Thank you. When someone gives us a gift, we say thank you. And God has given us the greatest of all gifts. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His inexpressible or indescribable gift. 1 Peter 1:8, 9, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Rejoicing with joy that's inexpressible. The word thanksgiving doesn't occur in that, in those verses that I just read in 1 Peter 1, but rejoicing with joy inexpressible sounds a lot like a thankful heart to me. And so today I pray that meditating on the work of Christ will move us to thanksgiving to God for our Savior Christ and for that gift that is found only in Him, and being joined to Him by faith, eternal life, salvation through faith in Jesus. His death means that we have life. His sacrifice means we have forgiveness. We've been given the greatest of all gifts. And so, yes, we can. This is how we can be thankful in all circumstances, at all times, because this gift can never be taken away from you. And no matter how difficult and painful and whatever else the circumstances of your life are, this thing is still yours. This person is still with you. And so you can always be thankful. May we be the most grateful people of all. We've been given the greatest gift of all. I pray some of you will come to faith in Him today, may be able to truly give thanks this Thanksgiving holiday season. Give thanks for the greatest gift. You come and put your faith in Christ, and you will be able to give thanks for that. No matter what hard things come that make us ungrateful, this cannot be taken. And so there's always something to be thankful for in the life of the believer. But God doesn't stop there. He's like, that's enough blessing. I'm not going to give you any other blessing the rest of the way. Nope, He gives us every other blessing that we need along the way. Romans 8:31 and 32, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son. Listen, He's given this greatest of all gifts. He did not spare His own Son. How will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? You've got the greatest thing. And then God doesn't get stingy all of a sudden. He continues to shower us with blessing after blessing, provision after provision. In the midst of the hard and difficult circumstances of our life, He is with us. If He's given us Christ, He's not going to fail to give us everything that we need to get to the end. He who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. If He's given you this, then how will He not also with Him freely give you all things? Which is He going to give you again and again, really, day by day and moment by moment, things to be thankful for. Another breath. Thank you, Lord, for that. Now, I know breathing is largely an involuntary thing, and so not consciously thinking about it, but man, if you ever had trouble catching your breath, then you're thankful. heart's still beating. We don't think about that. It just beats. Thank the Lord for that. We're too absent-minded to keep it going. He's not. Well, thank the Lord for that. There's always something for which to give thanks. He's given us everything that we need for life and for godliness, through our knowledge of him who called us according to his own glory and goodness. We've received the greatest gift. God's going to give us everything that we need. And so as we gather around lunch today, I look forward to hearing about some of those other things that God has added to us that should fill us with gratitude, seeing how he's provided for and been faithful to you. Now, of course, you can express your thanksgiving for this greatest thing over lunch today too, for Jesus and his saving work. But if there's some of these other things that he's added to you, we would love to hear about God's provision for you in your life. And so as we move towards that time together, let's note thirdly that we should express that thankfulness publicly. We should be a people of thanksgiving. Jesus is the one for whom we should be most thankful and the salvation we have in him. And now the appropriateness of giving thanks publicly in the congregation. And I really just want to read a series of verses here from the Psalms. So this was the practice of the psalmist. I read one at the beginning. I'm going to give you that one again. But publicly acknowledging the goodness of God in the congregation, in the assembly. Psalm 26, verses 6 and 7 and verse 12. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. Verse 12, my foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. He's proclaiming thanksgiving aloud, blessing the Lord in the assembly. Psalm 40, verses 9 and 10. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. This psalmist talks about and tells the good news of what God has done. He doesn't hide it away so that nobody knows. He tells it in the congregation so that others can see and rejoice and praise God who provides. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. You ever tell what God's done for you? And tell it to others? You tell it to other believers? Maybe over dinner and meal in your home? Maybe at prayer meeting when you gather week by week? Opportunity like today? Come and hear. And I will tell what. And it's not what I have done. It's always about what God has done. I'm going to talk about your salvation, your steadfast love, your faithfulness, your deliverance. And he's telling it in the congregation. Come and hear. Psalm 109, verse 30. With my mouth, I will give great thanks to the Lord. I will praise him in the midst of the throng. Among the many, I am going to tell what he has done. And the one from the beginning, Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. A regular practice of the psalmist. He testifies to others of God's faithfulness and love and deliverance and goodness, his deeds, what he has done. And that's not all of the passages that we could have looked at. There are more that we could bring, say, very similar things. May we follow suit, publicly testifying of what God has done for us and thanking him for it. Do that in your homes, just around your dinner table maybe, or when you do some family devotions. Sometimes make it an opportunity for your kids and your family to give thanks, to express out loud what God has done for them, maybe that day or maybe in the past week. Do it together. I keep saying this. We do it at prayer meeting. We do it together today at lunch. I hope you do it. If you have one another over, showing hospitality to each other and get to testify of God's goodness to you. When we do baptisms like we did a few weeks ago, a testimony is someone testifying of God's work in their life, of his goodness to them, so that we can all together in the assembly rejoice and praise and give thanks to God. God is good, and so may we give thanks to him, not just today, not just at Thanksgiving, but always. Let's pray together.